You know, I quoted this, the phrase last week. Some people say that heaven and hell are right here on earth. So, and these people probably would be annihilationists, right? They would probably believe, well, you know what? The best that we're going to have if heaven is here, the worst that we're going to have if hell is here. So when I die, you know, I'll just experience whatever. But I'm experiencing, and some people will say that I'm catching it right now. You know, I had relatives in my family that every time I would see them, every time I would talk to them, they would tell me, man, I'm catching it right now.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled, Beginning with the End in Mind. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Hell.
We started a new sermon series, and the title of the series that we began last week is Beginning with the End in Mind. And as we talk about beginning with the end in mind, we said that we wanted to focus on some things that are going to happen in the end of time. And as we begin this year and understand those things, let us govern our lives according to the end. We last week looked at heaven and talked about heaven being a place where people will be with the Lord. It'll be a place of perfection and beauty. And we thank God for all those who last week wanted the little booklet that I put together answering your questions about heaven. We ran out, and there were even people today coming asking for the booklet on heaven. So we thank God that it's such a popular place that the end of many people who know, or all the people who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, their end will be heaven. So we want to continue our message today, or the series today, beginning with the end in mind. We said that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And only those who prepare for heaven will go there. The scripture is very clear about that. That in order for you to go to heaven, two things have to be true. First of all, you got to want to go there. And secondly, you have to prepare to go there. But today I want to deal with, where do people go when they die who don't want to be with the Lord? Where do those individuals go? I intentionally told the ushers not to pass out any notes this morning. There are notes available. You can pick them up on your way out. But there is a PG-rated version of this sermon, and then there is the R-rated version. The R-rated version is in the notes, so if you want to see the R-rated version of this message, you want to get the notes, but I'm going to give you the PG version from the pulpit this morning. And ask this question, and I want you to make the call. I want you to tell me, where do people go when they die who did not want to be with the Lord? Where do they go? Now, we can offer a lot of suggestions and a lot of solutions, but let me make it very clear to you today that there are definitely people that do not want to be with the Lord. And not only is life clear about that, but the Bible is clear about that also. And so as we think about that, let me just share with you in the Bible three groups of people that I know that don't want to be with the Lord, all right? There's the atheist, there's the heathen, and there's the natural man. Clearly, these folk don't want to be with the Lord. So where do they go when they die? The atheist, Psalm 53 and verse 1, the scripture says, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. So he don't want to go to heaven, right? He don't want to go to be with the Lord. So my question is today, where does he go? You know, you make the call. I'm going to give you some options today. You make the call. Now, definitely I'm going to give you the biblical option, but where does the atheist go when he dies? What about the heathen? Where do the heathen go when they die? Who are the heathen? You may ask me today. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 2 in your Bible, and we're going to see who the heathen are. The heathen might be somebody that you work with. The heathen might be somebody even in your own family. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. It is clear here, very clear, that the heathen don't want to be with God. Why do the nations or the heathen rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and let us cast their cords from us. There are a group of people that don't want to have anything to do with God. As a matter of fact, they make it very clear, Lord, take your hands off my life. And the sad thing is that I hear and I see it carried out with a lot of young people. That a lot of young people, whenever they're able to get out on their own, when they're able to ever to get out from underneath the roof of their parents, they might have grown up in a home where the Bible was taught, where they were brought to Sunday school, where they were brought to church, or they might be like some people have said that when I was young, I had a drug problem. Well, what was your drug problem? I was drugged to Sunday school. I was drugged to church. I was drugged to Wednesday night. And so now that I'm not being drugged anymore, I don't want to have anything to do with God. I don't want God's hand on my life. I want to live my life. I want to sow my oats. I want to do my thing. It is clear that they don't want to have anything to do with God. So my question is, where do these folk go? And I've asked the question on many occasions. If somebody, and maybe you can answer this for me, if somebody doesn't want to be with God in this life, why in the world would he make them come with him when they die? It makes absolutely no sense to me. Now, maybe you have theologically studied this out a lot more studious than I have. You have meditated on it a lot more than I have. You have walk with the Lord and ask him a lot deeper than I have. And maybe God has given you some insight that I don't have, but I just don't understand how that God would force somebody to go and be with him in heaven when they didn't want to be with him down here. And so there are a group of people that say, let us, these cords, what are cords and what are bands? They are what? Connections, right? Connections that if you are a child of God here, that hopefully every day you make a what? Connection with God. That you get on your knees and you pray. That you open up the Word of God and you ask God to speak to you from his Word. That's making a connection with God. That those are the cords. Those are the bands that we have with God. And I don't know about you, but I cherish my bands. I cherish my connections. I look forward to making my connection with my Heavenly Father every day. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's cords. That's bands. That's connections that we have. And some people say, Let us cast his bands asunder. Let us cut his cords off of our life, that we don't want to have anything to do with him. So there are the atheists, there are the heathen, and then there is the natural man in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, where it says, but the natural man, lambano, the Greek, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man. Who is the natural man? You probably passed a lot of natural men and women coming to church today. Some of them on this nice day might have been on their way to the golf course. Some of them today might still be at home in bed sleeping. Some of them today have other things and other focuses on their mind. Now, I'm not talking about Christians that are doing that. I'm talking about people that are natural. That it says here, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Now, the question I asked again, if you have a natural man who obviously doesn't want to, watch this now, doesn't want to receive, take to himself or herself the things of God, why in the world would God force them to go be with him? Staggers the imagination. Obviously, there are three groups of people that don't want to be with the Lord. And so my question is, you know, where do they go when they die? I heard a story about a man, you know, to illustrate how that all of us, whether we say that we want to go with God or we act like we don't want to go with God, that to some degree, people at least want to ease their conscience, right? You know, they want to make things feel like, well, you know what, maybe I'm not that bad after all. You know, and I heard the story about this guy that died, and he was a very wealthy man, and his brother was very wealthy. And the pastor was in the middle of a building program, and the pastor knew both of these guys, and he knew that they were rascals, man. He knew that they lived lives that just reflected everything immoral, illegal, and whatever else you can put on it. And so this one guy came to the pastor, and he said, tomorrow at the service, if you will say something nice, say something good about my brother, I will pay off the rest of that building fund that you're trying to raise. And so the pastor said, okay. And so the pastor the next day got up at the service, and he began to do the eulogy for this guy. And he said that brother so-and-so was a dirty, low-down, rotten, no good so-and-so, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. So, you know, people want to ease their conscience anyways, right? So, obviously, these are three groups of people that do not want to be with the Lord. Now, my question is, where do these people go? If they don't want to be with the Lord, where do they go? Well, let me share with you a couple of suggestions. And as I said earlier, you make the call. You make the call. These are all views that have been advocated by different individuals or different groups to offer as suggestions to the residency of people who don't want to be with the Lord after they die. The first view is what is called the symbolic view. And it says that they go to a place of mental and emotional suffering. They go to a place where they are tormented in their mind. They go to a place where they are tormented in their spirit. And they are at a place where it just is eternally just dealing with this mental and emotional anguish, and that they experience that for eternity. There are some that will teach that these individuals just simply cease to exist, that they will walk across the face of this earth for however many years, they will die, and then they will just not be anymore. This is what's known as the annihilationist view. Many religions today, religions that have churches right very close to where we're at, advocate this particular view right here, that your memory is erased, your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, they all just cease to exist. You make the call. Is that what happens to people when they die, if they don't want to go be with the Lord? The next one is what's called the rehabilitation view. And this view says that these individuals, the atheist, the naturalist, and the heathen, that they would go to a place to be purged and to be cleansed. And after they go through this purging and this cleansing, then they will be taken to a place called heaven. There are many that believe this view right here. Again, people in our families, on our jobs, people very close to us would hold to this view. This idea is that they will go somewhere and pay for the sins that they have committed on this earth. And as a result, they will go through some purging process. For instance, Hinduism believes in this whole idea of karma, and that if you have bad karma, that when you die, you go to a place of fire, and that this karma is burned off. And if you didn't get it all burned off, then you are reincarnated. You come back and live again on this earth. And then when you die again, you go to this place where this karma is being burned off again. And sometimes it's necessary for some folk to be reincarnated seven times to have this karma burned off. But eventually they get to a place called nirvana, a place of perfection, a place of peace, tranquility, and a place called heaven. Many people believe that. That is what's called the rehabilitation view. And then there's what's called the universalist view. And this view is gaining popularity in Christian circles. This view is being promoted by a lot of preachers today. A lot of preachers you see on television promote this view of universalism. And universalism basically says is that everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, everybody is going to a place of eternal peace and happiness. That nobody will go to a place of judgment and destruction. But everybody will go to this place called heaven. And that's the universalist view. And you want to note that one. Note that one. Because you'll hear this term thrown around a lot in Christian circles and in theological circles. The term is universalism. Mark that in your mind, universalism. And when you hear preachers say that, you'll know exactly what he or she is saying. What is being said is that everybody universally is going to be saved, all right? And then the third view is the biblical view, which says they go to a place of eternal judgment and condemnation. The biblical view. Now, needless to say, the biblical view is not the popular view. People don't want to hear about the biblical view. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I said don't pass the notes out today is because everybody might not want the notes, you know? I want you to want the notes today. You know, I don't just walking in, you know, they hand the notes to you, right? No, you need to want the notes today. And I guarantee you, you know, we don't, Donna, you don't even need to sit back there at the table today. We're not going to sell any tapes today. People don't want these tapes. Last week, we were selling tapes left and right when we talked about heaven, right? I gave out that little book about heaven, and people were picking it up left and right. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible says that when people, the atheists, the naturalists, and as we look at individuals in these groups, the natural man, that whenever they die, according to the scripture, they go to a place of eternal judgment and condemnation. Now, the fact of the matter is that if we are Bible-believing individuals, the scripture is very clear that some people, now I can't say who, but some people go to a place of eternal condemnation. Scripture is very clear about that. Let me give you two scriptures, and I want you to look at them. The first one is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Daniel, the prophet Daniel. Chapter 12. And verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame. And look at the operative word here, everlasting contempt or condemnation. Everlasting contempt or condemnation. In Matthew chapter 25, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving one of his more memorable sermons, said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, and these shall go away into, here we go with the operative term again, everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. So the scripture is very clear. You can't get around that. If we are Bible-believing Christians, you know, we can let the world intimidate us and try to talk us down off of our biblical position because we know that it's not politically correct today to say certain things. So we can be backed down off of it. But the fact of the matter is that the scripture does say, whether people want to accept it or not, that for some people, they are going into everlasting condemnation. And I don't know about you, but everlasting to me, well, somebody said, what does everlasting mean in the Greek? It means everlasting. Now, there are some misconceptions that I want to straighten out about this place of eternal condemnation, because a lot of people have the wrong ideas. Some people say there will be no such place in the afterlife because it's here on earth. You know, I quoted the phrase last week. Some people say that heaven and hell are right here on earth. So, and these people probably would be annihilationists, right? They would probably believe, well, you know what? The best that we're going to have if heaven is here, the worst that we're going to have if hell is here. So when I die, you know, I'll just experience whatever. But I'm experiencing, and some people will say that I'm catching it right now. You know, I had relatives in my family that every time I would see them, every time I would talk to them, they would tell me, man, I'm catching it right now. I'm catching it right now. So that's a misconception, right? Some people believe that they're going through it now, and that's it. All right. Second one, all my friends will be there. I don't know how many people have told me that. And the fact is, I hope I'm not one of your friends. Now, as we're going to see here in a second, your friends might be there, but it's not going to be what you think. It's not going to be like you think.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Hell. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Hell, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.